My name is Laurel Tamayo. I was born and raised in Honolulu, Hawaii, and now live in Los Angeles. I have family on Maui in Lahaina, and so I grew up going to Lahaina every year since I was a baby. And one of my favorite parts of going to Lahaina was our beach days, and me and my family, I would go to visit my grandparents, auntie and uncle, and cousins, and we would go to the beach, and we would spend all day out there just swimming, enjoying the sun. And when I went on a trip in 2022, I remember things felt different. It was so hot. I remember the sand was stinging my feet. I went snorkeling for an hour, and when I came back, I noticed that my plastic coffee cup had actually melted and morphed in the sand.
Wow.
And
that had never happened.
That had never happened before. I remember just being there thinking, wow, this beautiful place, this place I imagine taking my future kids and future grandkids to one day, maybe a place that's too unbearably hot to enjoy as the effects of climate change get worse. And so I remember...
This was 2022.
This is 2022, and I remember telling this story to some people, and I had no idea that a year later, the deadliest wildfire in modern U.S. history would hit their hometown and take their multi-generational home. And so it was a very sad thing to, you know, expect. Like, I work in climate change. I have for several years. And so, you know, I always hear about these unprecedented disasters, and I always knew that something like this could happen, but I didn't know it could happen so soon and to my family so quickly. So after the fire happened, I was just hanging out with my friend Taya, and she asked me, are you going to make a film about what happened to your family? And I remember telling her, no, I don't think my family would want to be in it, you know. But then that night, my mind was just like spiraling with all these ideas. And I was like, you know what? I have this background in climate change and film and TV. And I think I have these connections to people who could give me good advice on how to make this film. I had never directed something before. And so I was really scared to do it. But I was like, I think I could have the support system to be able to do it. And being in LA, you know, I think I had capacity to work on this film, but I still had this personal connection to it. And I knew that a lot of people were going to be making films about Lahaina who had no connection to it. And so I really wanted this film to be up close and personal with my family. I wanted people to see my family and feel like they could see their family in my family. And so
people in your family are in the movie, right?
Yes, yes. So my grandma, auntie, uncle, and cousin are in the film, as well as two family friends who also experienced the fire.
And give us kind of a visual storyline. Where do you go? How do you do it? What do you focus on?
Yeah, so we start off just getting to know my family. I had each of them introduce themselves, and so, you know, we have some jokes about each other, and it starts off very lighthearted, but then we hear about how Lahaina was such a tight-knit community and how everyone knew each other. And then we go to the day of the fire and we see everyone's perspectives. My family was able to evacuate before they were in real danger. But one family friend, Jonah Versola, he actually stayed in his neighborhood instead of evacuating. And he actually put out fires in his neighborhood with a water truck driver, like a construction water truck. So a lot of his neighborhood actually credits him with saving their homes. And I had asked him, like, why did you stay when you could have saved yourself? And he said his elders always taught him to look out for his neighbors. And so I thought that was really powerful and just a testament to how people in Hawaii are and how they look out for each other. The other story that we follow is Kiha Kaina, and he was someone who was living outside of Lahaina, but he's a community organizer, and so when the fire happened, he actually organized these hubs where people could get supplies, get food, gas, all of those things that they needed, and he talks about that, and then you hear from my family talk about how blessed they were that other people outside of Lahaina were organizing as quickly as possible. You know, when the one main road into Lahaina was blocked off, people were taking boats in. Normal people were doing anything they could to help the people of Lahaina, and I think that was like a good thing that came out of it, was like you really saw the aloha spirit and you saw how strong the community was.
Yeah, it is really fascinating how the community truly came together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so that's one of the things that we really want to stress with the film is that, you know, as these climate-related disasters get worse, it's important to be prepared for them. And so we also cover a disaster preparedness training in our film. We filmed 13 to 18-year-olds learning fire suppression, CPR, medical triage, all these survival skills so that if another disaster happens, they can be deployed and, you know, save lives possibly. And so, yeah, one of our calls to action is, you know, have a go bag ready, have an evacuation plan, as well as just get to know your neighbor, because that's another thing they say in disaster trainings is like your neighbor might be the only one near you who knows that you're there and can like check up on you or like realize something's wrong if you're not answering, things like that, and so or tell you to evacuate when you should. And so I think just like, yeah, community is a big solution to climate resilience.
So you stay real central to the core, to the story, and you don't divert, like, blame or the utilities or, you know, recently, a couple weeks ago, there was a post about one of the gates was locked that shouldn't have been, it could have saved lives.
We actually don't cover any of that. I know that there are going to be other films that will. I think I really wanted this to be,
focused.
like a very close-up look at my family's experience and what they're dealing with 7 months after the fire. And so we also touch on the topic of mental health, and that's a really big thing that I didn't realize, because I've never been this close to a disaster before. And so in the past I've seen disasters on the news and it's like, oh, this happened, and then, you know, the news cycle is out. Yeah, they move on, and then you think, oh, they must be okay now. And but that's not the reality. The reality is, even if they're alive now, a lot of people are dealing with trauma and anxiety.
Well, everybody in your family had to have known somebody who died in that fire.
Yes. And so, and I think everyone who lived in Lahaina knows somebody who died, unfortunately. And so, yeah, just dealing with that. And I know from my own experience living in Los Angeles right now, I feel like mental health is not talked about as openly in Hawaii as in Los Angeles. And so that was why I wanted to include mental health in this film, was to show it to the community and say, hey, like, it's okay to talk about it and ask for help. And so that's also part of our impact campaign is, you know, we're having this Patagonia screening, this community screening where...
Is this like a premiere for the film?
No, we had the world premiere at the Hawaii International Film Festival last Tuesday. So this is just a community screening where we are going to talk about mental health. We actually have someone from Maui Medic Healers Hui that will be on our panel, and they have been on the ground since the beginning, you know, supporting mental health and physical health of Lahaina wildfire survivors. So they were there even when people were sifting through their things. You know, it's very distressing to look through your things, and so they were there to support families in that situation. And right now they have a clinic, that's a free clinic that's open 7 days a week, and they have Talk Story, which is just like, you know, talking to someone, as well as acupressure, acupuncture, and all these other like ways that they can support the full physical and mental health of people who have been through this disaster.
That's right, somewhere in Lahaina.
Yes, yeah.
So how did you leave the island to go to film school? That's how you got off island?
So I studied environmental science and policy in college, and I minored in documentary film. And so...
Where was that?
At Chapman University. I really wanted to work in the film industry somehow, and using film as a tool to communicate the climate crisis. And so...
There you are.
Yes, unfortunately, when I started college, I did not anticipate making this film, but that's where it's led me, where the world has led me. And I think after the fire happened, I just saw how much pain this disaster caused my family, and I didn't want any other family to have to go through this. And so I really wanted to show this reality, as well as, like, how we can be prepared for them, and how it's connected to climate change and colonization and like that history here in Hawaii.
So going forward, what's your plan for distribution and sharing the film?
We don't have distribution yet. We have applied to a few more film festivals, but in the meantime, we are launching our impact campaign, and so this Patagonia screening is the first of the community screenings, and we are planning to, because the film is 35 minutes, it's kind of perfect to pair it with like a panel or a workshop, and so we're planning for the Hawaii screenings, we're going to have some kind of mental health part of the event. For screenings that are outside of Hawaii, we're planning to...
Chapman.
I would love to have it at Chapman, and we want to pair it with some kind of disaster preparedness workshop, so whether that's like how to pack a go bag or how to sign up for emergency alerts and things like that, I think that's a big part of our impact campaign. We have these three impact pillars that we use to guide production as well as our impact campaign, and the first is to support Lahaina wildfire survivors, and so we're doing that by fundraising for nonprofits that are on the ground, and so this Patagonia screening is the first where we're actually fundraising for the Lahaina Community Land Trust, and then the second impact pillar is to reduce the stigma around mental health and disasters, and so we do that through showing people in the film talking about their mental health and how they seek out help, just to normalize that. And then the third is to encourage global climate resilience. And so when we say climate resilience, you know, it's being prepared for when climate disasters happen. And so we want to encourage that through disaster preparedness.
That's really cool. To learn more about your world, where would you take us?
You can go to healinglahainafilm.com. We are also on Instagram at healinglahainafilm. And, yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is Laurel Tamayo.
Thank you so much. This is great. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you.
So here we are. Tell us about the film and how you're involved.
So I'm Taya Jeanette. I'm the producer of Healing Lahaina. And I met Laurel, who's the director, a few years ago in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. We've both been working in film and specifically in climate and social impact in film. So we had a lot of just values in common and what kind of stories we want to be telling.
So did she reach out to you then?
Yeah, so we were at a pizza place in Los Angeles, and we were talking about her family and how they were recovering, and I mentioned to her that, you know, a lot of people are going to want to go to Lahaina, and they're going to want to tell this story, and they're not going to have a personal connection to it, and if she ever wants to tell this story from a local perspective, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. You did it.
We did it. Yeah, $25,000 in crowdfunding later. And
wow, but you got support.
Yeah, it was a long journey, and we got the crowdfunding from Scene Spark, just sourcing from our community and a lot of people who really just showed how much that they want the story to be told. And then we also received a grant from the Jed Foundation through the Pink with Purpose project. So I actually went to NYU.
Oh, wow.
And I studied environmental studies in college, so I was never a film major.
Okay, so where did you meet Laurel?
We met at the Hollywood Climate Summit in Los Angeles, where I was coming from a little bit more of the environmental background, and she had studied, of course, environmental studies as well with documentary filmmaking at Chapman. So we both had the care for the environment and nature first, and film and storytelling is a platform for that.
How did you contribute in the process of making the film?
So as the producer, I was pretty much making sure that we could make this film, from finding the funding sources to getting the permits that we needed, figuring out our schedule, to actually, once we had all the footage, which was about 9 hours of footage at the end, figuring out how we're going to get that into a 35-minute cut, and what kind of story we want to tell around what we received and what we want audiences to feel at each moment, and where we want to end, how we want them to be walking out of the theater, what kind of conversation we want them to be having.
And it worked.
Yeah. I would say so. We really wanted to start with a lot of emotion and end with learning. So in the very beginning, you know, Laurel's family kind of playing off of each other, riffing a little bit, and then we go straight into the fire and the really, like, harrowing stories from people who were there on the day, who lost loved ones, houses, experienced, you know, their neighborhood on fire. And then rather than ending with that, we wanted to really showcase how much the community came together and that aloha spirit that I've had the chance to really be able to see through this film. And I hope that people are walking away with that, too.
Is there a call to action at the end?
I would say the call to action is definitely to be prepared in the case of disaster. We know that disasters are just becoming, you know, more intense, more frequent, and that is because of climate change in a lot of ways. Those are very connected. Mm-hmm. So we want people to be more aware. We want people to be more involved in their communities. And we want to be able to learn from Maui, both in being better prepared in the future, but also in seeing how much the community kept each other alive through those moments after the fire.
That's really cool. Okay, anything you want to add?
We're kicking off our impact campaign for the film. So we just launched our website, healinglahainafilm.com. We are fundraising for that part, and you can find that on our website as well. But we'll be hosting more community screenings in Hawaii and across the globe, so keep an eye out for that.
That's really cool. So you'll have to come to Central Coast, to San Luis Obispo.
Oh, definitely. That's high up on our list. And my name is Taya Jeanette.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you, too. Thank you for stopping by our community screening.
My pleasure.
Hi, my name is Heather Williams. I am born and raised in Hawaii, and my ohana is from Lahaina.
So you were living there in Lahaina?
I have never lived there, but my grandmother grew up there, and my great-grandparents grew up there, and my great-grandfather was the Lahaina postmaster, and my great-grandmother taught school at Kamehameha III Elementary, and my grandma grew up on French Street with her sibling.
You had family that lost their homes there, right?
We do have some relatives. Many of our relatives are now on Oahu, and a few are on the mainland, but I do have family who had lost. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And we actually, our family has some buildings that we lost that were like more commercial in French Street.
Looking to the future, what do you see?
I'm hopeful that, of course, the first priority is the people who live there, you know, so we're being respectful of that. But we do hope that eventually we will get to rebuild our ohana's buildings that were on French Street, because I think that is a very important part of that community and a big piece of that history as well. So I'm hopeful, but we don't know yet. We haven't been given much guidance, unfortunately. So we're trying to be patient and wait and see and just talk to as many people in the community that we can and be educated and informed. And I hope that it comes back better than ever.
Well, my hope is that they would rebuild it with that old patina.
Yes, yes, for sure. And our, you know, our buildings, that was where my great-grandfather had his butcher shop originally. And so they've been in our family for over 100 years. And there's many of us now descended from those two people. And it was charming. It was beautiful. It had so much character. And I really do hope that something like that can come back, but even better. You know, there's many things we've learned, and I hope we can rebuild, but with more trees and more beautiful spaces and still keep that charm, and that's the hope. But my name is Heather Williams.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Hawaii. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station. Oh.